The Dolo White Podcast is brought to you by Cinema Anywhere Nashville. Follow Cinema Anywhere Nashville on Instagram and book your indoor or outdoor cinema experience today. Hey, it's Dolo White, and this is the Dolo White Podcast. Look, if you're a parent, you know this already. This is not a news flash. Parenting is fucking hard. This shit is hard. My guest today is Carla Naumburg. She's the author of the new book, You Are Not a Shitty Parent, which I'd like to add a caveat. You are probably not a shitty parent. Most of us try our best for our kids. There are a couple shitty parents out there that put their kids through unnecessary bullshit, and I don't want to take away from anything they do. But my point is, you're probably not a shitty parent, and you shouldn't feel too bad about the job you're doing. You're doing great. And that's the message that my guest today wants to offer you. So let's get it started. Welcome to the Dolo White Podcast.
Polo Gini. Live.
Yeah. What's up?
This is not live. It's completely recorded.
Broadcasting from one of the top recording studios in all of Nashville, Tennessee.
Yeah, that's not true at all. I'm probably at home doing this.
He's been called one of the greatest thinkers of his time.
Literally no one has ever called me that. I do kind of agree with it, though.
Right here.
A 2017 recipient of the Nobel Peace Prize.
That's just a flat-out lie.
Talking politics, community, race, religion, entertainment, sports, and whatever the fuck else.
Yeah.
It's the Dolo White Podcast.
Episode 94 now of the Dolo White Podcast. My guest today, author of the brand new book, You Are Not a Shitty Parent, Carla Naumburg. Thank you for being here.
I'm so happy to join you.
All right. So the basis of your book is parenting is hard. And
Deep Thoughts by Carla.
Deep Thoughts by Carla. Yes. You know what, though? Before we get started on the book, I always say this whenever I talk about parenting is nobody really prepares you for parenting. Like, everybody's like, oh, kids are such a blessing, which they are. But we never, it's hard. You have to go out and look for resources that really give you the real on becoming a parent, because there's no single, to me, there's no bigger life change than having going from zero kids to a kid in like 24 hours. Like, that happens, you know what I mean? Like, within 24 hours, you have a kid and you're like, oh, here we are.
It's crazy. When my first daughter was born almost 14 years ago, I called up my grandfather to tell him, and I'm like, pop up, the baby's here. She's a girl. She's healthy. All the things. He goes, well, it's a crisis, but you'll get through it. And I was like, what the hell, grandpa? Like, you know, everybody else was saying, congratulations, this is amazing. And now I realize he was the only one speaking the truth, right?
Yes.
It
yes.
was totally a crisis.
I think the funny thing is, I think we all go into parenting. My wife and I did. We have one daughter. She's 5 years old. And we went into parenting like, we had this plan. You're going to do this on this night. You're going to do this on this night. And it's just like, we look back now and like, that's funny. Just if my one parenting advice is, if you're having your first kid, just go into it with no plan and expect just complete chaos and let that be your expectation of parenting.
I love it. I love it. Yeah. Like, just expect the chaos. Clean up the chaos where you can. Like, there are small moments of chaos. Like, every night I'm like, let's just tidy the things on the coffee table. Everything else is a complete mess. But if we could just put the books in a neat pile, I might feel like I can function another day.
Let's talk about the book. You cover what you call, is it shitty parent syndrome?
Is that
what
it is?
Yes.
Yeah.
What is shitty parent syndrome?
Well, it's a thing I made up for the purposes of this book.
Okay.
and it is the thought, belief, or perception that you are a shitty parent when in fact you're not.
Mm.
And when I say that, inevitably I get those listeners who are like, wait a minute, I am the shitty parent, right? And what I say to those folks is, I do not believe there is such a thing as a shitty parent. I believe there are parents who don't have the information, resources, and support to parent the way they want to, but I do not believe there's a shitty parent out there.
I would say that I don't think I'm a shitty parent. I think I'm a shittier parent than my wife is. I think she's definitely the better parent between the two of us. But you do have those moments with kids, and luckily, I'm big on therapy. I'm in therapy myself, and one thing that you learn in therapy is kind of be easy on yourself. It will have those moments where you're like, God, I shouldn't have done this. Just shouldn't have said this to the kid. I shouldn't have, you know, done this or that or handled this a different way. But at the end of the day, this shit is just hard. It's hard, and it's frustrating to be a parent sometimes, like, or most of the time. But.
Look, we all screw up, right? Yes. I write books about this, and I say and do the wrong thing on a regular basis. And I used to look at those moments and think, oh, I am clearly a shitty parent because look at what I just did. And now, after years of practice, years of therapy, years of research, years of writing these books, I look at those moments and I say, whoa, parenting is hard.
Mm.
It's hard even when I'm doing it right. It's still hard. And I think there's this like image out there that social media and reality TV put on us that leaves us thinking that there are people out there for whom parenting is easy and effortless and their kids eat their vegetables every single night at the table without complaint. And that's BS, right? It doesn't exist. It's hard for all of us. Again, even when we're doing it right.
Yes, my daughter eats six things. And sometimes that goes down. That number fluctuates between four and six. So
you're not alone.
I know. Absolutely not. And I think there needs to be more resources like this to let people know that they are not alone, because parenting can feel kind of isolating sometimes. And I say that as, you know, a man, and my wife for, you know, the first 4.5 years that we had our daughter was technically a stay-at-home mom. And I remember one of my best friends told me, when he said, dude, like, you're the one that works, but trust me, you wouldn't switch places. And I was like, you know what? You're right. I would not switch places. Like, I would go to work every day.
It's, you know, I wish we had like a chart that you could look up online. Average number of times you have to ask your kids to put on their shoes before they actually do it, right? Like, average number of foods the average 5-year-old eats. So we could see, like, oh, the fact that I just had to ask my kid 27 times to put on their damn shoes, even though we do it every single morning, you know, would remind us that we're not alone and we're not bad parents. It's just the reality of raising kids these days.
It just needs to be out there more. There needs to be more resources like your book. Now, shitty parent syndrome, some of the hardships in life are unavoidable. Obviously, you can't imagine some of the things that your kids are going to come up with, especially last minute when you're trying to get somewhere as fast as possible. But my wife and I try to parent what they call gentle parenting. We do our best, which, in my opinion, is a better way to raise your kids, but also, in my opinion, is a much more frustrating way to raise your kids, because you try to remain calm during times that aren't. What advice do you give parents, like, during tantrums, or how they handle tantrums, I guess would be more of your...
Wait, are we talking about the kid tantrum or the adult tantrum? Because
Both. Pick one. Do both.
Look, when your kid is tantruming, you do the best you can with what you have. So my daughters are 12 and 14 now. So back when they were little, we were talking about attachment parenting, right? We were talking about different things. And now folks are talking about gentle parenting. And I try to subscribe to the, like, do your best with what you actually have in that moment parenting. And so if I got a good enough night's sleep, and if I had some food, and if I moved my body, and if I'm not a complete wreck because of, you know, if I haven't watched the news in like 24 hours, maybe I'm a functional person. And then I can slow down with my kid and, you know, kind of be patient and present and stay calm while they're losing it. And then the other night, my kid fell apart, my 12-year-old, and she was crying for like 45 minutes at 10:30 at night. And I laid with her and I rubbed her back and we did some counting exercises to calm her down. And I finally got her calm. And I was so depleted at that point, man, I had nothing left. And I felt her little body start to shake again, like she was crying. And I just go, nope, you're done. No more crying. Because I couldn't do it. Yeah. Like, I could not do it. It was like 10:30 at night. I'd had a crazy long day. I'd spent 45 minutes calming her down and she didn't cry. And I said, listen, kiddo, if you still need to cry in the morning, I will be here and we will do some more crying, but I have nothing left for you tonight and you can't cry anymore because I need you to go to bed. And she did.
Nice.
You know, yeah. That was a win. That was a lucky win. But we can't be perfectly present all the time. We do our best and we have to know that it's okay if it's not perfect. Our kids don't need perfect.
I think the hardest part for me sometimes, I go in and I'll be like, okay, she's tired, she's hungry, this is going to be rough, and I mentally prepare myself. And I'm getting through it. I'm getting through it. We got through it. And then something stupid will happen after I get her calmed down. She'll stump her toe like, oh my God, I'm right back to square one. How? Why? Why is this happening right now? Like, just got you calm. Like, why couldn't you just walk into the stairs? Like, why couldn't you just not done the thing that you do? But then there's only so much of it you can take until frustration boils over. So do you recommend, like, if I'm in that moment where I feel myself physically frustrated?
Yeah.
Is it better to stay there or just, I got to take a break? I've done both. I've stayed through it and tried to hold her down. I've lost it, of course, as we all have at time from time to time. And I've also taken a break to go out and be like, Papa's got to go. I've got to go into this other room and breathe for a minute, and then we can come back and resume. Yeah, like,
you are never going to catch me telling a parent like you or any other parent exactly what to do in that moment, because the minute I do that, then I'm communicating the message that there is a best way to handle that moment, and like a less than best or bad way to handle that moment. And I'm never going to say that to a parent, because the truth is those moments are so hard. And even though like previous generations of parents might be like, what the hell are you guys griping about? It's a freaking tantrum. Just leave them, walk away, smack them, whatever. Yeah. Right. But our generation of parents is taking a different approach to that. And I think there are a whole lot of benefits. Like hopefully fewer kids are getting it. Right.
Right.
I was spanked a lot as a child. I would never spank my kids now. And that's not, I'm not trying to shame my parents. That's what they were raised doing. The right. That was their air. That was the air they were breathing. But I'm never going to say to a parent in this moment, which depending on how much you have going on in your life, maybe life is hard, job is hard, you've got a sick parent, whatever's going on, or maybe this is triggering some of your childhood stuff. I'm saying you, any other parent, right? Sometimes those tantrums can actually feel like a whole lot more than just a kid screaming on the ground. Mm. I'm never going to say to a parent, this is how you have to deal with it, because I think that really, again, creates this narrative that there's one right way to do it. And I think there are many good enough right ways to do it. And so if your options are, you know, go for a walk, get some space, lose your shit, show up for the kid. Yeah. Pick any of those. They're all good enough in the moment. Absolutely.
Yeah. I wanted to ask you, what are some of the things that parents can do? Because I think when you have a kid, you don't realize how much of your, I didn't realize how much of my life I lost to my child until my wife and my child like went out of town and left me home for the first time. And I was like, what is this? This is okay. So, but what advice do you give parents to kind of make to help them be better mentally prepared for the day in and day out of parenting? Like what can parents do for themselves
before they have kids or after
after they have kids, like as a parent?
You know, before the pandemic, I had all these great ideas, right? And then we all got stuck in our houses. And I feel like we're all finding our way back into society in different ways. And so what I would say is be gentle with yourself, right? A friend of mine just posted on Facebook that she's going to some awards ceremony for something. And she's like, I think I forgot how to interact with people. And I'm like, yep, you're not alone, right there with you. So first of all, be gentle with yourself. Second of all, don't give up on doing this. Because I do think getting back out into the world and connecting with people is so important. You know, if we're only connecting with people over social media, then we're comparing our worst with their best.
Right.
And that leaves us feeling like crap. So, you know, be brave, get back out there in the world and do it with things you love. Like stop with the shoulds. If you're like, oh, I should really go to this party or whatever people do. I don't know when they leave their house anymore. You don't have to do that, but find something you love. If you love playing the ukulele, go find a bunch of ukulele players and go hang out with them, whatever it is. But don't do your best to get back out there, because I think we all really need that right now.
It's almost like the analogy of when you're on a plane and they tell you to put the mask on before you put your kid's mask on. I mean, no parent's actually going to do that, but I understand that, you know what I mean? Like you've got to take care of yourself too. And I think parents forget that sometimes.
But literally, dude, you just said no parent's actually going to do that. Right. So I've been flying alone since I was like 5 years old, right? Because my parents are divorced. And so I remember thinking like, who's going to put the mask on me? Right. Mm-hmm. I don't know why I told that story. You made me think about that. But the whole point is parents, you have to put your mask on, because if you pass out, your kid is screwed.
Yes.
Right. But here's what I don't love about that analogy. Every parenting person uses it. I think I've used it. Now I don't use it anymore, because the idea is that we parents only get to breathe and take care of ourselves when the plane is freaking going down.
I love that.
Right.
Yes.
It's like, no, I need the oxygen mask all the time. Like I need it, because as parents, we're the ones piloting these planes. And if we don't have that oxygen, our plane's going to go down. And for many parents, it feels that way all the time. And it is okay if you put your needs before your kids' needs sometimes, half the time. I don't know what the right amount is, but you're allowed to do that. And it's good for you to do that.
It is. And I think you probably help yourself be much more patient with your kid, which parenting requires a level of patience that not all of us have. Like I think I've become more patient since being a parent, but
yeah. And look, it can happen in these small ways. Like, you know, on a typical evening in our house, well, my husband cooks dinner now. That's one of the joys of the pandemic, but I used to make dinner like which was usually macaroni and cheese out of a box because I don't cook. He does. But I'd be sitting there stirring the noodles, and I've got like one kid in the bathroom screaming for me to come wipe her tushy. This was years ago. And then my other kid is working on some like glitter project at the kitchen table because it's always freaking glitter. And they would be asking me all kinds of questions, and I'm trying to manage this very complicated process of making macaroni and cheese out of a box. And I used to try to do it all, right? I try to answer the questions and wipe the tushies and wash the hands and make the mac and cheese. And now I'll just say, you know what, kiddo, I'm doing something. I need you to wait a minute. And yes, look, they're 12 and 13 years old, so they're a little better at waiting. But I could have started this when they were five. I could have said, you can wait for 2 minutes while I finish doing this thing. And that is just one small example of small ways in which we can like acknowledge that we have needs in the moment and our kid can learn to be patient. It's going to take practice, but they'll get there.
They will. My daughter's starting to get there. Not all the way there yet. One of the things that I think frustrates my wife, especially, but me too, because I do want to help, is we'll be like, hey, it's time to go. Papa's going to put your shoes on. Mama's going to finish getting ready. And she'll be like, no, I want Mama to put my shoes on. And it's like, well, if we want to go on time, but sometimes she is threatening a meltdown.
Relentless. They are relentless.
Like, I'm like, do I put the shoes on and do the meltdown, or I just want to help?
Look, you can decide in that moment, A, what is feasible? Like if Mama legit is doing something and she really can't help with the shoes, suck it up, buttercup. Daddy's putting on the shoes today. Yeah. You can have your meltdown. I'm still putting on the shoes. I'm going to carry your little flailing body out to the car and out we go. Or if you're like, you know what? I just need a smooth moment. We have 5 minutes. Okay, kiddo, Mama's going to come put the shoes on. Like, so what is the goal? And I think, and what can you do? And there's no wrong answer here, right? There's no perfect answer. The perfect answer is your kid freaking behaves. But
you said that in the book, your choices are between bad and worse sometimes.
Yeah. So, and the hard part is that's not the hard part, because we all know we would pick bad and not worse.
Right.
The hard part is we don't know which one is bad and which one is worse. That's the like shitty part of it, which is why we need to hold ourselves with compassion, because it's so stinking hard.
You're picking between two unknowns, and both of the unknowns are pretty bad.
It just makes me tired even thinking about it.
Right. Like, and if you're not a parent, you think you understand, but you don't until you have the kid. And then you're like, oh shit.
Oh shit.
What have I done? Kidding. Colin Oliver, the book is You're Not a Shitty Parent. Thank you so much for being here. You are great. You should do like your, I don't know if you do your own podcast or not, but you definitely could.
Thank you.
And any other info we need to cover?
Parents, just remember that just because it's hard doesn't mean you're doing it wrong. And you can learn more about me and my writing at carlanomberg.com or follow me on Facebook and Instagram.
There you go. Carla Nomberg, thank you so much for doing this.
Thanks a lot. It was great.
This episode of the podcast is brought to you by Cinema Anywhere Nashville. You can book your indoor or outdoor cinema experience right now, starting at only $350. Cinema Anywhere Nashville provides your choice of a 16, 24, 36, or even 100-foot screen plus projector setup and sound system. This is a super dope service that wouldn't just be great for corporate and work events, but also birthday and holiday parties, or if you want to have a romantic evening with your significant other. Cinema Anywhere Nashville is perfect for all of those things. They have the right experience for you. Follow them on Instagram right now at Cinema Anywhere Nashville and book your cinema experience today. Want to say thank you once again to my guest, Carla Nomberg. Definitely appreciate her coming on the show and letting us all know we're doing a just fine job being parents. Brand new episode's going to drop next week. My guest is going to be Andrew Seidel. We're going to talk about this very radical, very Christian radical Supreme Court that's currently sitting. So definitely stay tapped in for that. And make sure you tap in with me on Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, everything at DoleWhite101, DoleWhite101. And no matter what the platform is that you're currently listening to this podcast on, make sure you subscribe, make sure you follow, make sure you rate, review, anything they allow you to do, do it, as long as it's done in a good way. Definitely appreciate that love. But that's my time. Brand new episode next week. I'm out.